TFA fam, what is up? What is fucking happening? We are back again. Today we are going to be discussing the 2022 rookie wide receivers, you know, the best position in this class. And we are joined once again by a very special guest making his second appearance, but it's been a long journey for this guest. It's been a very long journey. He worked his way up in the fantasy industry. He was crushing it, got to PFF, wrote a Wonderworld, killing it. And you know what he said? You know what? Fuck it. I want to try something different. So he went over, jumped over to the gaming streets where it's very competitive, I might add, worked his way up. I mean, was killing it over on Twitch with the clap back crew, right? Went on to TikTok. You know what? I'm going to crush it over there too. 35,000 subs over there. And then you know what he said? You know what? I think I'm ready to come back. I'm ready to put the Batman cape back on, and I'm ready to jump back in. And that is one, Jesse Reeves. We are excited to have you today. Welcome back.
Hell of an intro, man. Hell of an intro there. You're giving me too much praise. And like I did a whole lot of, you know, a whole lot of successful things. But listen, I'm just a guy, man, that likes to make content no matter what it is, whether that's gaming, whether it's football related. I mean, I'm kind of into golf now. You might see me dabble into that soon, too. You know, I'm just kind of everywhere. But I appreciate you guys having me on tonight. As you said, second time on, man. And we're just going to have a good one, man. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I appreciate you reaching out. And also being a fellow subscriber and supporter of when I was in the gaming space. Really appreciate that, man. Always loved having you in the streams, hanging out and stuff, dudes. It's a great time. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to get on with you guys and talk a little bit of wide receivers in this class.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I am as well. There's a lot of wide receivers here that I like. So I think this class is a little bit different for everybody. I think everybody has a little bit different flavor for even the top guy. There's no Jamar Chase. There's no just lock him in, number one, case closed. We're moving on to the next guys, right? That's how it was last year. There isn't that this year. We thought maybe we were going to have that guy, but I don't know if we will. But so why don't we just start this off? Who is your number one wide receiver in this class?
Oh, okay. We're starting hot and heavy. All right, let's just get right into it. Treylon Burks, man. Treylon Burks is my guy. You guys know from my first stint in the fantasy community, I'm very analytics-based, so I like to create profiles based on numbers and then kind of go from there. I also dabble in film as well, used to coach high school DBs and stuff, so I'm not inept when it comes to watching film and evaluating players either. That's just not really where my expertise and interests lie. But to build off of that point, when we look at a guy like Treylon Burks, like you mentioned, there's no Jamar Chase in this class. There's not really anybody. There's not even, I mean, I don't even know if we could say there's like a Jalen Waddle necessarily either, a guy that's just going to come in and crack that, you know, that top 12 super easy. But from everything that Treylon Burks has done in his career at Arkansas, we just see a constant ascension in terms of market share of receiving yards. He doesn't have the best breakout age, but I think he's a little bit of an older wide receiver anyway. So we can kind of discount that a little bit. I think he's going to be coming in at 21, if I'm not mistaken. Correct. Completely. So for me, like, I just think he's got the more complete profile. Everything that he's done from a production standpoint at Arkansas, it's just, you know, when he broke out at 20, he just continued to ascend. And that's what you like to see from your wide receivers in terms of an analytics profile on, you know, kind of those, for lack of a better term, flags that you want to kind of check off and look at. Or I'm kind of rambling irrelevant terms right now, but those are the things that you like to see from your wide receivers in their prospect profiles. And he just kind of checks all those boxes for me. So that's my one.
Do you think Cody that's because so whenever pre-combine it was Treylon Burks is going to go out there and he's like the next Calvin Johnson. He's going to run a 4.39 and he's going to do all these marvelous things and everything. And it didn't happen, but his 40 time still wasn't bad, but we still put too much weight into the 40 time. But whenever it happens, you know, we always end up either moving guys up because of it, moving guys down because of it. But there's so many wide receivers in the NFL that win not off of straight line speed, right? That are nuanced route runners, win physically, gain separation in other ways. And I think some of it's been overblown with Treylon Burks, and because people have now knocked him down. Some people have him at 5, 6, 7 as their wide receiver, which is just trying to be hot. And I think it's a little ridiculous. He's still definitely in the conversation as the best wide receiver in this class. He's probably going to be a top 20 pick. But where are you at on him, Cody? On Treylon Burks, is he your number one, or is he in your top three?
He hasn't moved out of my top tier. It's him and Garrett Wilson in my top tier for me. And it's crazy with Burks that someone can go out and have an 87th percentile speed score and we're all just like, bah, he sucks. So disappointing.
No, it's
like, I think if like there's one thing you actually do want to look at him and be like, ah, well, there's a little bit of, you know, not that it necessarily bothers me, but it's just odd that you have this dude who is 6'2", 225. And had 75% of his career snaps in the slot. Just thought, you know what I mean? You typically don't think of like that body size in the slot, but like you to knock him for his 40 whenever, you know, at that size, it was fine. I think this is one of those cases also where the cliche, like he plays faster than what he tested, actually holds true for him. Like you see him running away from the Bama D-backs in that game that I'm sure everyone's seen the film on. His play speed is fine. It's just it's going to be interesting to see where he lands and what kind of role that team sticks him in.
Yeah, I mean, he killed it from a yards after the catch per reception. He was 10th in the class, you know, and now with 9.3 yards after the catch per reception. And, you know, I think he did check a lot of boxes there. He didn't see a ton of press. He only had 39 snaps against press coverage. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I don't think there's a lot to, you know, that you can really nitpick with him. You know, had a tremendous 31% target share in the offense. So, I mean, he kind of was the offense there in Arkansas. So, I don't get the people that want to bash him and, you know, have him at wide receiver 5, 6, 7, stuff like that. He's definitely going to be a top 20 pick in the NFL. I guess to keep it moving, my number two, and I don't know if this is controversial, is Jameson Williams. And I think people would be higher on Jameson Williams right now if it wasn't for the injury that he suffered and the national title game. I think that there is concern a little bit with his breakout age, only a 50th percentile breakout age. Obviously, didn't break out until he transferred to Alabama. Didn't get an opportunity to play whenever he was at Ohio State. But, you know, it's not like he went to Purdue or Wake Forest and dominated, right? I mean, he transferred to Alabama, for Christ's sake, and just went out and absolutely dominated this past year. 1,500 yards receiving, 15 touchdowns, and was just terrific this year. And, you know, we obviously don't have his testing numbers, but he absolutely torched some corners that we know have excellent speed. I think he would have been a guy that definitely would have ran in the 4.3s. And I just think he's a special player. Some of his numbers really line up very similarly to Justin Jefferson whenever he came out. And so I just think that he is a very special player. And I think the only thing that people can really say about him is the fact that he tore his ACL. And I think that's the only reason why people are a little bit lower on him than they should be.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. except there is an underlying fact that it's only 1 year of production. And I kind of struggle with that. Okay. So intuitively thinking, you know, when we look at, and I fired off a tweet about this and I can't remember. I mean, we're talking wide receivers like Benjamin Victor, KJ Hill, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. And as you guys know, you know, Benjamin Victor and KJ Hill are irrelevant players in the draft, or excuse me, not in the draft, in the NFL. And he couldn't seem to find his way throughout that atmosphere at Ohio State when he was there before he transferred to Alabama. Now, weirdly enough, it took him going to the most prestigious, college program in all of college sports for him to break out, which is just kind of a mind fuck in itself, right? Like, it'd be different, like, if he had transferred to, say, Liberty and was catching passes from Malik Willis or something like that, and he had a breakout. People are going to question, you know, the level of competition, which doesn't really matter in my opinion. But it's like he went to Alabama, who has a really, really high conference draft hit rate, you know, like per Peter Howard's database and stuff. He does a lot of really, really good work with how many players come out of those conferences, how they hit in the draft. And it's just a weird conundrum that you have with Jameson Williams. He had that one really, really, really good year last year where he garnered over 32% of the receiving yards market share there. And he had that breakout. But again, like, he's got an age 20 breakout. And I think that's pretty comparable to a lot of the other wide receivers in this class as well. Like, there's nobody in this class except for George Pickens and David Bell that have a really, really young breakout age. And those are two very questionable guys. So when we're looking at breakout age this year, there's kind of an asterisk next to it, right? So I don't really pin that against Jameson Williams too much with the breakout age. It's just kind of the one season of elite production that kind of screams to me, like, if you're going to buy into him, buy into that upside and stick with it, right? I think that there's a really strong chance that he's going to be a value on the back end of your first round of your rookie drafts this year, depending on where he goes. If he gets that first round draft capital, that's going to signal even better for him. You're going to probably move him up your rankings and everything. Well, I mean, me, because I don't have him as high as like wide receiver two right now. But I would say that there's a lot of upside there, and the floor is also really, really low too. You know, is it telling that he isn't beating out guys like Benjamin Victor and KJ Hill in a wide receiver room that's super stacked? If he goes to a team, say the Chargers, because that's a pretty popular pick for a guy like that. People tend to think that, you know, that teams need this take the top off of the defense style of wide receiver. And they, you know, they can afford to go out and shoot their shot with guys like that. But the reality is if they're pigeonholed into that one role in a team, that's all they see them for, and they have wide receivers like a Keenan Allen or a Mike Williams, there could be a really big chance that we're talking about Jameson Williams coming in as just a wide receiver three. And that's kind of where I don't know if he's a wide receiver one that might have to play a wide receiver two for a year or so, or I don't know if he's, you know, a wide receiver three that just is a wide receiver three yet. And that's kind of where I'm at with Jameson Williams. He's not going to rank very highly for me. I think I currently have him in my tier four, but it's a soft tier four down there. It's not, I'm not, you know, banging the table saying Jameson Williams is a bust. I just don't know. And that kind of leads me to kind of be risk averse with him.
Yeah, so I guess let me ask you guys too. There's been a lot, especially the last week or two, like, and Seth Kaiser, he writes for The Athletic, does a lot of stuff about the Chiefs, everything else. But there's been a lot of talk that the Chiefs are looking to move up now into the draft. Obviously, they made the move for Tyreek. They traded Tyreek Hill away. They've been connected to pretty much every wide receiver that could possibly be available, and, you know, as well as the draft. But there's been a lot of talk that they could act, that they're looking to possibly move up to like 10. Or in that range to jump some teams like the Chargers, the Eagles, the Saints, that are all going to need a wide receiver. And that's their target, is Jameson Williams. So there's this belief that he's not going to make it past probably 15, 16, or 17. If he goes that high ahead of some of these other wide receivers, are you guys going to take that into account? Or is it more for you, the team that he's on, and of where you would view him in terms of where you'd want him in like rookie drafts and stuff like that?
I'll let Cody take this one first.
Yeah, it would be team dependent for me. Obviously, a team like the Chiefs, if he gets that landing spot, everyone's going to lose their minds, and, you know, especially if they trade up in order to be able to take him. And then I think probably at that point he could be in the risk of being overdrafted. Maybe, you know what I mean? Obviously, they have that hole to fill with Tyreek leaving. But I'm with Jesse where I'm a little trepidatious just because of the one, he only has that 1 year, But then on the other side, you know, you guys were already talking about it. He leaves Ohio State where he couldn't get on the field and goes to Bama and dominates there. So it's a really weird situation with him. But, yeah, I think most before that injury happened were pegging him in the first round. So if he goes in the first, like, I don't think we should be double counting that. I think it's going to depend on the team that he lands with instead of necessarily the first round draft capital in and of itself.
Right. And I think, I mean, using the Chiefs as a prime example, if a team trades up, especially in, like, say, the top 10, 12 picks for a wide receiver, it's very telling that they value that guy at a premium position, which would be very telling of how we can project Jameson Williams into the future. Draft cap is one of the single most important aspects of any analytical profile. It just has the highest correlation to success for the most part. But with that being said, you're also going to a team that has Travis Kelce, who has Juju Smith-Schuster now, and those guys are not slouches. I mean, I know Juju only played in five games last year, but looking at those game logs, we're talking eight targets, seven targets, eight targets again. Like, he's going to require a pretty decent, you know, pretty sizable target share there. I don't necessarily think that he's going to get to, you know, wide receiver one status again, but I do think that there is a market for him to be able to come in and have an immediate target share, a sizable one at that too. So again, another situation that we're looking at Jameson Williams coming in. And if they only view him as kind of just that speed threat, like, you can't, the Chiefs aren't going to draft him as an immediate Tyreek Hill kind of replacement, right? You just can't replace that type of production. You can't replace that player either. Tyreek Hill is very, very special. But with that being said, he is going to be linked to Patrick Mahomes, and that's going to be kind of another tough conundrum as well. Again, I wouldn't necessarily change where I'd have him at that point. Going, he'd probably be a little bit higher with a higher ceiling as well, right? Like, if he comes in, and especially in the long term too. I mean, Travis Kelce is, I can't remember his age right now, but I know he's on the other side of 30. I can't imagine he's going to be playing for so many more years that it's going to affect Jameson Williams' stock. But yeah, so it is, you do want to kind of weight the team, but again, there's also the underlying fact that if a team trades up for him very highly, that's kind of a signal that, like, they value him at a premium position and they're going to make that player a focal point of the offense, which would be a good box to check off for Jameson Williams for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's possible, too, that somebody like the Chiefs that don't necessarily need him to come in and produce right away, considering he's coming off the ACL, that they slow play him. Maybe he takes some time. He doesn't really get ramped up until the second half. So, you know, Juju, he's only on a one-year deal so for them. So, I mean, he could be gone after this year. I'm not going to get any more than that. So let's move on to Garrett Wilson, who's much more online, I think, for most people. It's kind of the consensus. Some people have him as one, some people have him as two. I think at least you're probably looking at three between him and Drake London. You know, I'm seeing a lot of mocks where Garrett Wilson is going to the Falcons. Sounds like he could be a top 10, top 12 guy. But with him, again, another, you know, kind of guy who had a late breakout age, never really dominated at Ohio State. I mean, was productive, but was not this guy who just went out and had these monster seasons. You know, he was there with Chris Olave, you know, as well. But, you know, even his, you know, a lot of the analytical stuff, like, didn't really do a whole lot for me. He was good in the yards per out run, 3.0 yards per out run, 18th in the class. But other than that, 5.8 yards after the catch per reception, which is 192nd for Garrett Wilson. Obviously, he came out and did pretty well in the combine. I mean, still only a 64th percentile speed score and a 58th percentile burst score. But for a lot of people, you know, talk about him, he's just an absolute technician, great route runner. And so I think that's why a lot of people, you know, lean towards him. But what is your guys' takeaway with him?
I like him. I like him a fair amount. He's going to be my wide receiver two in this class. And I've been giving him a lot of flack recently because of kind of when I'm looking at the entirety of this class, and especially with Chris Olave and him, you see, you know, in their first year together, you see that Chris Olave was obviously the more dominant wide receiver, and he had another year on in that Ohio State offense over him. And then when you see that second year kind of pop up, Chris Olave is right there in the fold with him. So I have this kind of take with Garrett Wilson that he is who we think he is, which is a dominant wide receiver. And Chris Olave is, like, right there with him as well, like, just as dominant, and just went back to school another year and didn't pan out, right? Or Garrett Wilson is more along the lines of what a lot of people think Chris Olave is, which is a mid-level wide receiver. I'm kind of leaning after looking at, you know, his efficiency metrics and yards per route run. He averaged 2.97 throughout the duration of his career. That ranks, I believe, second in this class, just only to Justin Ross in terms of average yards per route run throughout the duration of their careers. And had that huge, huge spike year in his, I believe it was his sophomore season, where he had 3.86 yards per route run. And then when you look at market share of receptions and yards, spike there as well. Nothing super crazy. I believe he was like high 20s in that, if my database would scroll over. But he's going to be a wide receiver that is, he does enough to be that second wide receiver for me. And that's, I don't want to say that as a testament to, I necessarily think he's that good. It's just, I think this class is that weak that a guy like Garrett Wilson is going to stand out. And consensus says that he's going to be either, you know, if not the first wide receiver off the board, at least the second or third, right? And that's going to be mid to early second, or excuse me, early to mid first round. That draft capital is going to spike him even more. A team's going to invest in him as a wide receiver one. And I think that's very telling. I try not to bake that in. I try and look at the profile just as is, because we don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to bake that into, you know, my overall analysis or anything, but it's kind of hard knowing that this guy is going to get drafted early and a team is going to invest in him. And with that being said, he did do enough, and he, like you mentioned, Kev, he is a guy that kind of did break out late. I think we have an age 20 breakout on him. One of those older wide receivers didn't come in and play until age 19. So that second year, sophomore year, coming in and breaking out at age 20 doesn't necessarily look as bad, especially if you look at it from a years out of high school perspective, which is pretty highly correlated to fantasy success as well. But yeah, he's kind of the best of the rest, in my opinion, would be Garrett Wilson, where I have him.
Yeah, for me, obviously, you guys are more into the analytical side of it than I am. But field, you know, film-wise, no questions about him. You know what I mean? Like maybe he's not going to have the highest ceiling, but like outside of, you know, some questions with some of the other receivers, like Jesse was alluding to, he's super safe. I have no questions with him. Athletic, shifty, very nuanced as a route runner. I really like the fact that Ohio State used him everywhere, inside, outside, all three levels of the field, sweeps and everything like that. So you don't have any of those questions with him, where there are questions about almost all these other receivers. So he's been pretty firmly planted in that top tier with Burks for me since the outset of digging into this class.
Yeah. So, all right, let's keep moving. Let's get into some of these other guys. Let's talk about Drake London. You know, the Mike Evans, you know, direct comp that pretty much everybody uses for him since he declared out of USC. Obviously, you know, it's been well documented the absolutely insane year he just came off of in only 8 games with 88 receptions for 1,000 yards and almost 1,100 yards, actually, and 7 receiving touchdowns, a 34.9% college dominator, and a 27.3% target share in that USC offense. And I think, you know, but I've noticed lately there seems to be some people that are pushing back on him, saying that, you know, he's not a very good separator, and, you know, he's going to be much more of a contested catch guy, and, you know, stuff like that, which we've heard about other wide receivers in the past. Do you guys have that concern with Drake London, or do you guys think that's just being overblown and we're to the point where we're just going to nitpick people?
Yeah, for me, I don't pay attention to any of that, man. So the way that I look at it, when people say, you know, he can't separate, or he's not fast, or, you know, even when we look at Treylon Burks, like, I can't believe he ran a 4.55, you know, that stuff didn't stop him from being elite, at least for 1 year in college, did it? Like, the fact that he can't separate, he seemed to do fine without having to separate in college, you know, last year, right? Like, in those 8 games, he seemed to, like, if the guy can't separate, he's finding other ways to win. And I'm a firm believer that the sharpest of teams, especially ones that draft wide receivers very, very early, are not going to draft a wide receiver, be like, oh, he can't separate, we need to teach him how to separate. No. We're going to elevate what he can do well, which is be a big body wide receiver, go up, catch the ball, and just absolutely dominate people. And that's what a team that's drafting Drake London, that's what they're going to draft him to do. They're not going to draft him to be Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks or anything else. They're not going to draft him to be a Jamar Chase or a Jalen Waddle. They're just not going to do that. With that being said, it's kind of one of those Jameson Williams style, profiles, where it's that one super, super dominant year. in my database, I do have him at an age 19 breakout, and it looks like a lot of that was kind of touchdown dependent. I think he had a pretty decent market share of that. That touchdown overall market share that in his age 19 season, but this year in his eight games, I mean, it's just absolute domination. When you look at everything that he did, 31%, a 31.8% dominator rating last year. His dominator over average as well, another Peter Howard big brain stat that I love to look at comparative to other classes and stuff. It's not horrible. It is a minus 2.36, but comparative to the other, you know, the others in this class, there's only a couple guys that have, you know, an actual positive dominator over average. So I don't try. I try not to what's the word I'm looking for? I try not to ding him too much on that. Right. It's just the 1 year. And if a team is buying into that 1 year, I think that they're going to put him in a position where he can try and be successful. And with that being said, he's just the kind of guy that's floating around. He's a tier two guy for me, but you know, between him and like George Pickens, I could definitely see somebody else, you know, George Pickens moving up to tier two and Drake London moving down to tier three. He's just kind of one of those guys I don't know if I want to buy into yet, but his metrics in last year, especially in just eight games, were phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't think the separation thing matters until it matters, right? Like if he ends up on a team with like a quarterback who is a see it, throw it kind of guy or someone who's not willing to throw into tight windows, then sure, it's going to matter. But if he goes, you know, back end of round one to like Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers, then it's not going to matter. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be kind of situation dependent with him. It is kind of wild to see that he was a slot receiver his first 2 years at USC. Like the overwhelming majority of his snaps came from the slot those first 2 years. And then this last year too, he was 15 deep catches that ranked 10th. This last year, and he was 14th in screen catches as well. So it was just kind of like this, he was either catching it at the line of scrimmage or he's catching it, you know what I mean, 20 yards downfield. Love what he can do with the ball in his hands. I don't know how much speed he actually has, but the thing I like is he's able to get to that speed quick. You know what I mean? He doesn't need a ton of room to build up that speed. Once he has the ball in his hand, he's able to maneuver and go through, and he's not his, I think he rated pretty highly with missed tackles forced, and it's not just him running over dudes either. Like you see him, you know, you see some agility out there, him making guys miss and, you know, having guys kind of fall around him as well. So I'm a fan, but it is going to come down to, again, I think the theme with this class is how high do they go and where do they land?
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of that with him. I think landing spot and really quarterback dependent is going to be huge for him. So let's talk about somebody that you just kind of just glossed over there, and that is George Pickens. And I have been high on him this entire process, and I continue to be high on George Pickens. I absolutely love him. I love the swagger that he plays with. I think on not that you can measure that, but I just think when you see these wide receivers that have that kind of alpha my ball, you know, attitude, I think you see some of that like a Jamar Chase, right? And I love seeing that in George Pickens. That you know, I guess he got what, suspended in 2019, but you know, he is another guy that had a really early breakout, broke out at 18.5, but then, you know, obviously got hurt. The second year wasn't fantastic, but it also should be mentioned that Georgia's quarterbacks over the last 3 years have been fucking awful. And so some of that's not his fault. But George Pickens, like, especially after his freshman year, like people were talking about him that like he was going to be a can't miss. He's going to be the best wide receiver of the class when he comes out. Obviously, unfortunately, tore his ACL. Some was the offense this year. I mean, it was kind of a wasted year. He basically didn't come back until the very end of the season. But which is smart. But then he comes out and I think he runs better and tested better than people thought he was going to at his size, 6'3", 195. And so overall, I love George Pickens. I think there is a boom or bust aspect to him that does need to be mentioned, because we saw the excellent alpha, you know, kind of wide receiver that he can be his freshman year, but we haven't seen it the last couple of years because of injury, because of the offense, whatever. So I definitely think there's this range here with him that he could very well be a bust. But at the same time, I think his ceiling is absolutely as high as probably anybody in this class.
Yeah, I completely agree there. And that's, you know, he's going to be just one of those screaming values, because I haven't seen anything about teams that really, really value him. That's going to, that leads me to believe that he's going to, like, you know, squeak his way into the back end of the top, the first round right now. I'm fully anticipating a team to hopefully bite on that upside on day two, early day two, you know, round two. It is really, really good scenario for George Pickens. And with that, like with the boomer bust, is it's really just comes down to injury and not him being able to repeat what he did his freshman year, you know, for the duration of his time at Georgia. Now, when you look at his freshman year, just absolute domination, and it's not going to show up from a raw statistics standpoint. You know, when you look at just the raw statistics and everything, you look at, you know, 727 yards, 8 touchdowns, you know, 49 receptions in 12 games. But when you look at that age 18 season, which is the prime position that we want to see wide receivers statistically break out, they have the highest hit rate percentage for fantasy relevant wide receivers coming out of college is that age 18 season. He hit a 23.2 receiving yards market share at that age. And I believe his dominator rating was pretty high that year. Again, my database kind of slowing down on me right now, but then age 19 too, even in those 8 games, still ended up having over a 20% market share of the receiving yards and receptions there as well. A quick note, in that age 18 season, he held 23.2% of the receiving yards market share on only 11% of the receptions. That's maddening right now. I was looking at his yards per route run for that season, and it's the highest of any wide receiver in this class. It is, I believe for that season, it was not the highest of any wide receiver in this class. Excuse me. It was a 2.27, which is actually still really, really good. It means he was fairly efficient on the targets and the volume that he was getting. And I think seeing that spike at such a young age is going to hold people to kind of look at George Pickens as like, this is what he can do. This is what he can do. And there is that ceiling, but there's also the factor of, he can get injured again. Maybe a team doesn't take him until the third or fourth round, and that's going to plummet his draft stock, and that's going to plummet his fantasy expectations as well. But I do like him. He's a guy that's going to be sitting inside of, like I said, that tier three. He's kind of at the top of my tier three right now. My tier three is a bunch of guys that like kind of flashed in the analytics department, but that I'm not sure where they're going to go, what their team situation is going to look like, but they have really good metrics, you know?
Yeah, Pickens just feels like the guy that we can kind of talk about is like he's going to be like the year three breakout guy.
Yeah.
Right. Like I don't see it happening for him like right away. I think he's, you know, going back, you know, 5-10 years into fantasy football when that seemed like that actually used to be a thing where we had the third year breakout at wide receiver. I think he's that going to be that guy. And, you know, if you miss out on him in your rookie drafts, you can potentially get him cheaper the following year, you know, as long as he doesn't start to, you know, to ball out toward the end of his rookie campaign or anything like that. But I'm a big fan of Pickens. He's just going to be one of those guys where you hope that he puts it all together, because his flashes at Georgia are really fun. Like some of the most fun film to watch. But you know, like you were saying, Jesse, just there's a couple of things there where you're looking at and you're kind of tossing those back, you know, kind of tossing those around in the air. But two guys who have really been rising that, Kev, I know you're really high on this one name, and then the other name, Jesse, I'm really, really interested to hear your thoughts on him, but Sky Moore and Christian Watson, both those guys are really starting to climb, you know, Christian Watson going back to the Senior Bowl, Sky Moore, once people started digging into tape with him, you have some of the bigger names in the draft space talking about him. Then obviously he had a really good combine as well. So curious to get your thoughts on both of those guys, and you can start off with whoever you'd like. And I know Kev will jump in too.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with Sky Moore because I actually do have him in my database. Christian Watson is a name that I've been hearing like floating around a lot as a potential guy that could, like, you know, end up squeaking into the back end of that first round as well. I know a lot of people are high on him, especially after the combine pro days and everything, I believe, as well. But he's not somebody that I do have in my database right now. So in terms of like an analytics profile, I don't have that one built out for you guys right now. But with Sky Moore, I mean, we're talking about a 41.2% college dominator. This guy, he spiked in best yards per route run by a season. His last was about 3.46. That's an elite level grade. We're talking that's right on par with Treylon Burks last year, right? So Treylon Burks had a 3.57. That's right under him, and Drake London as well. So I mean, when we look at what he can do and having that the season that he did last year. His also quick note too, his dominator over average is about 5%, which is the highest in this class. He just feels like a wide receiver that's absolutely dominant that might get looked over in the draft, maybe early day two. I know he had a really, really good combine and a lot of people were speculating that he was going to shoot up the draft boards. He's just one of those guys I'm not sure about yet. I think if a team values his skill set and what he does, you know, he could definitely probably work his way into being, you know, the wide receiver one. He's capable of being a wide receiver one. It shows all over his analytical profile. And I really, really like the way he's profiling. Now, for me, he's kind of in that tier three as well. I mentioned my tier three is a lot of guys who have the analytical profile, but I'm just still uncertain of about what's going to happen with them coming into the draft. But like, if we're just going pure off of pure, you know, profile, analytical profile and how I view them, Sky Moore would be probably up there with, you know, Treylon Burks. He would definitely be up there if we're looking at just the numbers. And for me, he did it at a young age too. I believe I have him at his breakout age for 20% and 30% was in age 20. But you just see really, really good production from him. He's a guy that I'm intrigued by. I hope that he lands in a good situation where he can come in. And I mean, maybe at worst, he's a wide receiver too, who has a shot to be a fringe one guy.
I absolutely love Sky Moore, but I have him as my wide receiver five in this class. I actually have him ahead of George Pickens. They're very close for me, but for both those guys, I think so. From what I've been, you know, gathering from the big NFL draft talking guys, you know, the Marcus Mosiers, the Daniel Jeremiahs, that the NFL is absolutely in love with Sky Moore and that there's zero chance that he goes outside of the top 40. He's definitely going to be a top 40 pick. And so there's been a lot of team, a lot of people have been mocking, like, especially at the back end of the first, you've been seeing a lot of what another guy will talk about, Jahan Dotson, but either him or Sky Moore going late first or early second for them. And so, yeah, I just think that he profiles. I think you can play him anywhere. I think he could play on the outside. He could definitely play in the slot. 49% of his targets came from the slot. 46 receptions, 511 yards, 3 touchdowns from the slot last year for him. And so, yes, he plays at Western Michigan, but I really could care less about that, the small school stuff. We're seeing more and more of these guys. I think it's going to continue to happen more and more with the transfer portal stuff and the way these guys can transfer every single year and just kind of jump from team to team. And if they can go to a team, they're going to let them start right away and they're not going to have to try to work their way through a depth chart. I think you're going to see more and more of it. So I'm not really all that concerned with that with Sky Moore. And so just everything that he brings to the table, he's still on the young side. He just turned 21 years old. So it's not like he's you know, a guy that's older. I just think everything he brings to the table, I think he's going to be kind of, to me, he feels pretty much can't miss. I think that he, at worst, in fantasy circles, I think he's a wide receiver too. But I think he does, in the right situation, right offense, I think he could definitely be a wide receiver one. And we could, a guy we could be talking about as one of the best wide receivers from this class when it's all said and done. Christian Watson, kind of the same thing. It's kind of hard to knock him in terms of production because he played in an offense that was absolutely run first. And so, I mean, he didn't get a ton of opportunities in that way. But in terms of just the, you know, he was first in yards per route run with 4.33 this last year. Wasn't great in yards after the catch, but obviously, you know, for a guy that's 6'4", 208, to run a 4.36 40, this is 96th percentile, a 98th percentile speed score, and a 95th percentile burst score. You know, there's
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
A ton to like with Christian Watson. And I think, again, if he can land in the right spot, I think actually Debro, I saw a little bit ago, he comped him to Martavis Bryant, which is easy to look back at Martavis Bryant, like just on the surface level, and be like, oh my God, that's if he's going to that, that's terrible. But like early Martavis Bryant, like did some really special things. He just couldn't stay on the field. It was more of the problem with that. But I do think Christian Watson is a very interesting prospect, a little bit older, almost 23 years old. But with all that being said, I mean, he's still at a 90th percentile college dominator, 44% college dominator. So I think he's an interesting prospect and somebody that, you know, has done himself a big favor with through the Senior Bowl and through the combine, who just absolutely slayed the combine. So let's talk about Jahan Dotson, because I think he's the other guy that actually has a shot of going in the first round that we've been talking about. Obviously, Cody, the big Penn Stater, you know, here. But, you know, for him, obviously, he's a little bit on the thinner side in terms of his size. But still did okay with it. Still had a pretty decent combine. You know, again, another guy who had a 20.5 breakout age. Not great. Not terrible either. 32.5% target share, you know, in that offense at Penn State. But he's somebody else that I think a lot of people are kind of looking at as a back end first. But where do you guys line up with him?
Yeah, I like him. He's got one of those profiles that when you look at late wide receiver breakouts, he's one of those guys that, you know, he had in age 20, he had nearly 40% of the receiving yards market share at age 20, which is his breakout season. And then you don't really see too much of a fall off at age 21, hovers around over that 30% mark, which is great. The last thing you want to do is see a wide receiver do what Chris Olave did, which is come off of a strong season, go into their, you know, their fourth season and then kind of fall off a little bit. So with Jahan Dotson, I'm not really concerned there. I think he's got a good analytical profile. Again, I'm not going to ding him too hard on the age 20 breakout. A lot of these guys in this class have an age 20 breakout. And even though that's a good indicator for, you know, fantasy success, there's not a lot of guys in this class that have age 18 and 19. There's very select few. And then if you move those, you know, the thresholds up to 30%, there's only one guy that has an age 19 breakout in this class, and everybody else has an age 20. So when you look at him and his the entirety of his profile, he comes out fine. Average yards per route run throughout his career was over 2, which is great. That's a good wide receiver threshold right there, is over 2 for a college wide receiver. I like that a lot. His best was coming in at 2.63, which I believe was that age 20 breakout season. Last year was a 2.56. So again, when you do see, you know, those dips for wide receivers to go back for a fourth year, if they're very strong and you see a wide receiver that had a 30% market share and then come down to say 20, you know, or, you know, under 20, you know, pretty big red flag there. Jahan Dotson, not a guy that had that, 41% college dominator as well. Everything from a metric standpoint kind of pans out. It's just going to be about where he goes. And correct me if I'm wrong, I do believe he ran a pretty fast 40 as well, right? Was it pretty fast for him?
4.43.
Okay. I don't know what the expectation was there or if that's going to shoot him up. I think I remember kind of, you know, people touting him a little bit harder after the combine, right?
I think with his size, I think he's what, 5'11", 178. I think people were expecting a little bit faster.
Faster? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
I still don't think it's terrible. I mean, it's
four three. Yeah, no, that's not horrible at all. I think he probably upheld the standards of where he should be. You know, a lot of people probably wanted him to run a little bit faster. But yeah, from an analytics standpoint, he had a pretty good, you know, back end of his career at Penn State. It looks like, you know, he looks very solid. Another guy that I'm probably going to end up putting in like that tier four. You know, I'm not sure where I kind of, you know, want to put him, but for what he did in the back end of his career at Penn State, yeah, very, very solid. He showed that he can be at the very least like that, you know, a strong wide receiver two candidate, maybe career long fringe wide receiver two, three guy.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about two guys that one that we probably should have talked about earlier, but the way we do this, it's happened every single time. And it's something that I know that you like, and there's other people that do like this guy a lot. And I know like Matt Waldman has him as his wide receiver one in the class, and that is what it is. I think it's ridiculous, but whatever. I have not been high on Chris Olave this entire process. Like, I don't hate Chris Olave, like, you know, at all. I just, there's nothing to me that like gets me excited with him. I've watched some of his tape. I'm not a big tape guy. I'll be the first to admit that. But when I did, I was like, oh, okay, whatever, cool. You look at his numbers, nothing pops out to me. Nothing stood out to me whatsoever. A 2.29 yards per run, not terrible. 83rd, you know, among all wide receivers this past year. Terrible at yards after the catch, especially for a guy with his type of speed. Terrible burst score in this class. 4.39 40. Obviously that's good, but that's just, you know, telling us a straight line speed, but came back for that year. I don't know why he did whenever he should have came out, but it's just, I'm just not that excited about him. Like, it's just like, whatever. I know he's going to be a first round pick, you know? And so I, you know, that's that, but like, there's so many wide receivers that I just like more than him. And it's, I don't know. Like, I know, you know, there's other people that love him, but I just can't do it.
Yeah, so he's a guy that I'm like I kind of mentioned with Garrett Wilson, right? You know, they kind of, obviously Garrett Wilson came in a year later, but when we did see both of them kind of at the height and competing with each other, Chris Olave was kind of standing out there, right? When you look at his age 20 season, you know, 34% of the receiving yards market share at age 19 had 22.8% of the receiving yards market share there. And in his best season at that age 20 season for Chris Olave, had a 3.54 yards per route run. Incredibly efficient there. Those are like elite level numbers. Thinking about it intuitively though, when we stack up, let's just look at, you know, in a vacuum, him and Garrett Wilson. Now Garrett Wilson had the stronger year last year in terms of minimally though, especially if you look at the raw, the raw data between both of them last year, it's not like, it's not like Garrett Wilson came out and just had an absolute insane number of targets or receptions and yardage over him. I mean, we're looking at a little over probably a game's worth, about 100 and, you know, give or take 120, maybe quick math yards on Chris Olave on the season, and only five more receptions in the same amount of games. It's not like Garrett Wilson absolutely, you know, bodied Chris Olave from, you know, a kind of back and forth standpoint last year. Where things get interesting is you insert Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Okay, now that's the dominant wide receiver, and that's the X factor when we look at the profile for these two guys, at least for me coming out this year. Now, thinking about it intuitively, like I said, there's kind of a window where when we look at Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, we look at either Garrett Wilson is that guy and he is very, very good, and you just, to me, in my eyes, you don't really have a choice then. At that point, you have to put Chris Olave at the very least right behind him. That's my thinking. That's the way that I look at it, because when we look back and we look at the duration of their college careers and when they're competing with each other at the height, Chris Olave in his age 20 season, in the 2021 season, 2020 season, better than him. He was better than Garrett Wilson. So I don't know how we justify saying that Garrett Wilson is this great wide receiver, but Chris Olave is absolutely not. Now, with that being said, it is a red flag that Chris Olave comes in and he gets slightly beat out by Garrett Wilson, absolutely bodied by JSN, And then we're looking at Chris Olave having a fourth year there where he looks it kind of the red flag is if Chris Olave goes to a place again, I'm going to use the Chargers as a destination because they have two really good wide receivers there. And Chris Olave is somebody who has been mocked them fairly often. Chris Olave goes there. It, you know, historically, especially when we look at, you know, last year, there's a strong chance that he's at best a wide receiver too. Now, if he goes somewhere else and he's able to compete for a wide receiver one role, he's already shown that he possibly, you know, that he can beat out a guy like Garrett Wilson. So that's kind of the conundrum with me. And I'm choosing to believe that Garrett Wilson is a good player. So I'm kind of forced by the way that my brain works to believe that Chris Olave is that good of a player as well. That's kind of where I stand on them. I think Chris Olave is a good prospect. I think that there's a lot to be desired with his yards after the catch. He looks more like a possession receiver, but he's very fluid in his routes. He's a guy that can run really, really well. And he ran faster than a lot of people expected as well at the combine. So I think a lot of people are going to, you know, work him up into like that middle of the first round, which a team that drafts him with first round draft capital is going to incorporate him into their offense. It's just a matter again of if he does go to a team like the Chargers, where there's already two wide receivers there that are very, very good. He has been beat out before, but he's also shown on the other side of that, that he can compete for valuable market share of targets, receptions, and yards on a very good offense.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm like trying to do is just like keep this open mind, like, you know, don't let my hate seep in and just completely bury the guy because that's what I feel like with it. So like, I just keep trying to just like, you know, I'm just going to try to keep it open mind with him. You know, we'll see where he lands. You know, let's see how this works out with him just because, but like, there's this part of the back of my head that's like, I fucking hate Chris Olave, but you know, it is what it is at this point. And the other guy that's like that for me, now this is a completely different conversation because this guy I don't think has any shot of, I don't even think, he may not even be a day two pick, and that's David Bell from Purdue, which on the other hand, he definitely dominated, he definitely produced, and but, I mean, we're starting to hear more and more and more about him that NFL teams are just not in love with him, and this could be a day three guy. Now, does that mean that he's dead? No. We've seen other wide receivers that, you know, that are athletic. Again, I don't think we should be killing him necessarily for that. Yes, he ran a terrible 40. His speed score is atrocious. His burst score is terrible. Like, he's just not an athletic guy. But I think he could still be possibly a productive big slot at the next level, and it's hard to deny how he produced. I mean, at age 18 breakout at 28% target share at Purdue, you know, even last year, 1200 receiving yards, 6 touchdowns. His yards per out run was really solid. Yards after the catch was 15th among all wide receivers in this class. So I mean, there are a lot of things to like about his game as well. 10 deep catches for 382 yards, that was 39th in this class, and so or among all wide receivers last year. So there's a lot to like, but at the same time with him, if the NFL hates him, I mean, that's pretty much what we need to know, because if the NFL doesn't value him, there's no reason we should value him at that point, right? That's what happens. If he goes as a fifth, sixth round pick, I mean, you might as well mark him as dead. Sure, it's possible that you know, he can carve out a role, but you definitely have to lower expectations of where you would have him.
100%. And it's unfortunate because this, for me, David Bell would be my wide receiver one in this class. He would be my absolute, we're talking age 18 breakout. We're talking age 19 at 30% breakout. We're talking multiple years of 27% and above receiving yards market share. We're talking about yards per out run. Any analytical, you know, any metric that you have for this fucking guy, he hits it and he is the guy. But it's Tyler Johnson all over again. It's Tyler Johnson all over again. Tyler Johnson, and I know, Cody. Listen, I know, man. I know, because Tyler Johnson was my undoubtable wide receiver one through and through. Just, yes, and it hurts me to say it, too. I still have David Bell. I still have him in my tier three wide receivers because I don't know what I don't know yet, okay? I don't know that a team is completely out on him. But from everything that we've heard, especially not performing at the combine, that's when the rumblings kind of started, right? That's when you're like, you're looking at this guy with an absolute bulletproof profile, and that's when the blood started to come out. That's when you saw that there was a little bit of concern to have for him. Now, like you mentioned, Kev, there, it doesn't mean he's dead in the water if he goes in that fifth, sixth, you know, seventh round. I pray that that's not the case for him, but circumstances for him would have to really, really be favorable. We're talking maybe a couple injuries. We're talking maybe a really, really depleted wide receiver room. Giants, for example, outside of Kadarius Toney, who I absolutely love. But like, he has shown that it does not matter where you go, where you play, who's your quarterback, whatever it is, he was doing. It does not matter where he is, the guy, and he is the strongest candidate for a guy that I would be willing to hang my hat on. But it is going to be a concern when he gets drafted after the third round, maybe in that fourth, fifth, sixth, wherever it is, anywhere after the third round. If he goes, it's going to be a big concern. With that being said, though, he is a guy that I am undoubtedly 100% in this class, especially if I even sniff that it's a favorable situation. I'm grabbing him at the back end, probably like 212, 301, and I'm not even going to blink. I'm going to do it. It's not even going to be a thought in my mind. It could be seventh round draft capital, and I'm going to take him there because I know that he's capable of doing it. And it's kind of like an Amon-Ra St. Brown situation, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown was good in college, but he didn't get drafted to what, the fourth round, right? I believe a lot of people kind of wrote him off. You were able to get him fairly late, or excuse me, maybe, I don't know, consensus ADP from last year. I want to say, if I remember correctly, it was like late second, early third or something like that.
Mid to late second.
And sure enough, I was talking about this on another podcast last night, is sure enough that Amon-Ra St. Brown, while he had the profile, it took some opportunity in the right situation for him. Hawkinson had to go down. Josh Reynolds had to go down. Khalif Raymond was kind of spotty last year. That offense was conducive for a player of Amon-Ra St. Brown's stature and profile for him. If he had that opportunity, he was going to shine. And now the genie is out of the bottle. You can't put Pandora back in the box. And the Detroit Lions are thinking that they struck absolute gold on Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round, and they're going to ride that till the wheels fall off. I'm really excited to see what he does. Could we get a situation like that with David Bell? Because he's already proven that he can do it. Analytically, he's got the profile. He can do it. He is an incredible player. But if he does get drafted in the later rounds of the NFL draft, we're going to have to do some soul searching on him. I'm going to buy the upside at the end of the second, early third. I'm going to continue to hammer that home every single time. But again, more hesitation than should be. And again, it's Tyler Johnson all over again, man. He just had it. And then the NFL doesn't like him. And like you said, Kev, we do have to listen to the NFL. What they say kind of goes with us, especially when it comes to how they allocate these draft assets and how they view these players. Because at the end of the day, it's these age-old dinosaurs with, you know, garbage offensive schemes that are like, oh, I don't think that guy can play, so we're just not going to play him. We know damn well this fun guy can play. Okay, so I'm excited to see it. I hope that he does go. In the third is a win. The second is an absolute, like, we're just hammered. I might even hammer him with the 101 at that point. Okay, I might do it. I might fucking do it, guys. Yeah. But yeah, David Bell is a guy, a situation that gets me kind of riled up because time and time again, especially with Tyler Johnson, I'm going to keep going back to that name because I was so bullish on him. I was so bullish on him being the guy. You cannot, there's no way you have that amount of production and teams just look at you and be like, you know what? I don't see it with that guy. What's there not to see, man? Like, what is there not to see? Like, and it's the same thing with David Bell. Hopefully, fortune favors the bold team that is willing to grab him at whatever place that they do. And I will be monitoring that situation very, very highly.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to obviously see how this shakes out in the NFL, with the draft. But, you know, once you have guys like, you know, the Marcus Bosier, Daniel Jeremiah's, the guys that are really, really, really connected to the NFL have actual sources, guys that, you know, they talk to around the league and kind of get a good vibe. When those guys are starting to say that the NFL teams are out, you have to take notice. I know there's people that don't want to believe it and be like, oh, no way. No way. He's going to be a second or third round pick. But like, no, no. Once we start hearing this stuff around this time of the year, start believing it. Like, remember, we were hearing all this stuff about Tutu Atwell last year, and we were seeing Daniel Jeremiah mock him as a top 40, and all of us were crushing him. Everybody. Fucking Daniel Jeremiah, you're an idiot. Tutu Atwell as a first or second round pick? What are you doing? Everybody laughed at him, and then it happened, right? Yep. So it is what it is. So that's why I start to pay more attention to what the NFL, what their pulse is on him. And that's kind of been the consensus. Is just the NFL just does not like David Bell, and that he's probably going to be a day three pick. We'll see. you know, all it takes is one team. You know, I'm sure, you know, there could possibly be a couple, a team or two out there that likes him more than everybody else. And if that's the case, and he does get, you know, a third round pick, you know, then I think, you know, then his arrow starts pointing back up. You start getting more excited about him. But if he doesn't, you know, I think you can still take him, you know, in a rookie draft as, you know, later round pick. But you just have to lower expectations of whatever it is you thought you had for him. But yeah. I think that's kind of the top guys. Is there, you know, is you know, I think now if there's anybody else that's outside of like the top names that you're kind of excited about. Actually, I know. I think there is somebody, Justin Ross, right? Aren't you high on Justin Ross?
I'm. Oh, are you talking to me or Cody?
You.
Oh, kind of mid. You know, kind of mid. I'm gonna have him in the lower tiers. Good. He had another one of those guys that kind of had a really, really good freshman season, right? But he's one of those guys too that I believe kind of suffers from having injuries and just not being consistent. So he's one of those guys that are gonna be. That has a good profile. We're talking like consistently hitting inside of the 20% threshold for market share of yards, receptions. Had that age 18 breakout season, never really surpassed 30% of the overall of the overall market share there at any age. But with that being said, also from an efficiency standpoint too, that first that first year when he was kind of going berserk and had that age 18 year breakout, a 4.31 yards per route run. That guy was an absolute animal. And that is, I know I said, you know, earlier when we were talking about George Pickens, I think I had them a little bit mixed up, but that is an elite level of production right there and efficiency. So, and every season that he's played too, whether it be inconsistent or not, or injury riddled, he has hovered around that 20% threshold of overall production. Good. I like him fair, but you just don't hear enough buzz about him in terms of where he might go in the NFL draft. And he's one of those guys that feels like he could be the forgotten prince that never could take the throne. In terms of another guy that I really, really like too, and you can totally correct me if I'm wrong. I do believe, if I remember, he did have a pretty decent combine. A lot of people were a little bit shocked, but Wandale Robinson is somebody who had really, really good production throughout throughout college. Somebody that I love from just an overall market share of receiving yards, receptions, had an age 19 breakout is where I have him. Maybe 18. No, I have him at 19. And you see him just grab 30% of the overall receiving market share there, 45% last year, which is absolutely absurd. He's just a guy that ascended too. Like once he hit that, once he broke that brick wall, it's just boom, just skyrocketed. So I'm intrigued to see where he's going to go anywhere in inside of that day two mark. And I'm going to be hammering him in the middle of the second, maybe. I mean, he's got such a good profile that I'm not going to be surprised if a lot of Twitter touts are just like, you know, hey, take him with your early second, or we'll see where he goes. But that's a guy I'm really, really intrigued by as well. You know, and I think he's in that tier. Yeah. With David Bell and Sky Moore, Wandale Robinson kind of hovers in that third tier for me. So yeah, that's somebody that I'm definitely excited about as well.
Cody, you got anybody?
Just interested to see where John Metchie goes. I know he was a name that a lot of people were excited about going into this year, and he produced, and then he just doesn't seem like he's talked about. I know he had that late injury, but I think he's someone who, I mentioned this on the mock draft we just did on Tuesday, but it kind of seems like unless he gets some like shocking, you know, draft capital coming up at the end of the month, that he's more than likely going to be like a late two, early three, potentially, you know, depending if, you know, super flex and all that stuff. But I don't think we've ever had like a safe, like third round rookie pick, but I think Metchie could absolutely be that. He's going to be a slot guy, good route runner, good hands, you know, athletic as well. So interested to see especially what kind of draft stock he gets, because like the buzz on him has just absolutely not been there at all. And then small school guy, Jalen Tolbert. I like him, and I'm interested to see where he lands.
Yeah, I do like Jalen Tolbert quite a bit. I think guys that have been getting some buzz, Romeo Doubs, Khalil Shakur, seem to be guys that are getting a little bit of buzz. More of a probably, you know, early day three type guys, slot type wide receivers. Alec Pierce, obviously, he had a really good combine, but he feels like very much just kind of a one trick go route type wide receiver. I don't think he's definitely not a nuanced route runner or anything like that, a technician at the position. I think if he lands in the right spot, maybe he could end up being like an MVS type, where, you know, he's used kind of more as that kind of deep threat, take top off the defense type of guy, more of a best ball option. I don't know if he'll ever be somebody that develops into, you know, more than that. And then, you know, Calvin Austin seems to be a name that's just gaining a lot of buzz. You know, that people may be surprised how much higher he goes than what people expect. Because teams are starting to look for these type of guys, these type of gadget guys. You know, this is a very copycat league. We saw that, you know, Deebo Samuel. We saw the Cardinals take why is his name escaping me? Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore, you know, like we're starting to see more and more of these archetypes where this is what these teams are type of looking for. And I think teams are kind of looking like that with Calvin Austin. And so I think he's interesting. And then I also think Kevin Austin from Notre Dame is also a very interesting name. He did really well at the combine. Again, another probably day three guy, but, you know, depending on landing spot, could end up being somebody, you know, a few years down the line, maybe gets an opportunity. So I think those are kind of the other names that I think to be looking out for. Of course, there's got to be somebody that gets drafted that, like, kind of the Mecole Hardman, you know, when the Chiefs took him, when DK Metcalf was still sitting on the board, but where everybody's like, what? Who is this? What are we doing? Like, where did this guy come from? Because, you know, that's what the NFL loves to do. But overall, like, this class is definitely not, I don't think, as good. You know, it's definitely not as good as last year's. I don't know if it's even as good as the years before, you know, with the Jerry Jeudy class. I don't even know if it's as good as that class either. But I think it has a lot of depth. I don't know if we're going to get a ton of stars from this class, like just dominant, you know, elite wide receivers. But I think we have a lot of really good wide receivers in this class.
Yeah.
I think is the best way to look at it.
Yeah. And on average, you're only going to have about two wide receivers that hit per class anyways. And we're talking like top 12 seasons, right? And those guys, you get strong indications that those guys are obviously the ones that are drafted very, very early. And if I'm like kind of, you know, if I'm going to peg two guys as that, it's probably going to be Garrett Wilson and Treylon Burks, you know, pending draft. I mean, a lot of people seem to think that Treylon Burks is just a lost cause. Like he's going to go on day two. I don't fucking see it. It's just not fathomable to me. My world will end if that happens. Okay. I will shut it down and I will never evaluate another player if that fucking happens. But those are the two guys. Everyone else after that, you take your upside shots. You look at the guys that were drafted in the first round. You kind of evaluate their analytics or film or however you choose to look at these guys. And that's where you're going to spend your first round draft capital on. It's not a strong running back class. It sure as hell is not a strong tight end class outside like Trey McBride and Dolchitz, who I think has a pretty good chance of going in some of the earlier rounds. But for me, it's just and it's not a strong quarterback class either, right? We're looking at Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett. I mean, I hope Matt Corral gets a nod from, you know, a team in the back end of the first. We'll see what it's going to look like. But for the most part, when you're looking at this group of wide receivers, and because the average hit rate for a top 12 wide receivers that, you know, around two per class, you're looking at Treylon Burks and Garrett Wilson. And outside of that, you're probably going to hedge your bets and you're going to look at Chris Olave and Drake London. Jameson Williams is probably in that discussion as well. It's just a class that has a bunch of guys that all have a bunch of red flags that aren't very great outside of Treylon Burks, in my opinion. I think Treylon Burks is the cleanest one of them all, but everybody else kind of is just, they're just in this class. They're just in this class. And you're going to want to buy into the guys who get drafted early and that have solid production in college. And that's kind of where I look at it. And if not, get 2023 picks. If you know what I'm saying? Like if you're in the back end of the first and all your guys are going, just get out, you know, if you really want to.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, Calvin Austin played over 90% of his snaps out wide, not a gadget guy, but he's 5'8", 170. So,
right.
Yes, there's Tyreek Hills, okay, and guys like that can. But or even Marquise Brown. I guess Hollywood Brown would be another good example of a guy that's very small that's made it. But it's not a great big pool of guys that at his size that have been able to make it, you know, on the outside or as a, you know, a true X or, you know, alpha wide receiver. So anyways. But yes, I agree. I think this class, you know, at its core, I think there's a few guys that I'm excited about. Breece Hall, I think Kenny Walker is exciting. And then, you know, you have some of the wide receivers. Quarterbacks is dead to me. Probably outside of, you know, Malik Willis, just because of his rushing upside and everything else that he brings to the table. But other than that, I mean, I think this class is just kind of is what it is. And, you know, next year, hopefully, is a lot more, is more exciting. The quarterback position definitely should be with all the guys that, that should be coming out next
year. Side note, though, too, is if you go ahead and especially if you have like the 101 or anything inside the first two, like if you're not going to punt for, you know, 23 first and stuff, draft a quarterback because they hold value. Look at Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance this year. Look at Justin Fields. You're going to get a Garrett Wilson or Treylon Burks plus next year for Malik Willis. And that's even if Malik Willis does the bare minimum. That's even if he just flashes some semblance of being an NFL quarterback. So there is a market there. I know we're getting more into like dynasty, you know, build territory there, but like that's my philosophy is that this class is not great. There are going to be players. There's players every single class that come out. Every single class that show out and prove that they can be a wide receiver one, a running back one, a quarterback one. Those are the guys that have strong analytical profiles that show up on tape and they get drafted earlier. And those are the ones you want to invest in. Those are the guys that you want. Now, when you're playing that strategy game, just know that this class is not going to be as hyped or as fun as next year's class or even 2024 and 2025. There's going to be a lot of prospects that are coming out. And if you make the right moves in your dynasty drafts and you draft the right players, you're going to be able to flip those for better guys down the road. So it's important now to get this, you know, kind of the narrative straight. And I think a lot of people that are into dynasty and that, you know, follow strategically, they understand that like it is not a strong class, but this is a time where you get in, though, because there's not going to be a better time for you to go and grab the assets that have that high upside. And then you're going to flip them for the even, you know, for the Bryce Young, the CJ Stroud, the fingers crossed Spencer Rattler next year. You know, like there's going to be points in this draft. So make sure that if you do have early picks, you're not just throwing them away. You're not, you know, throwing away the 103 and being like, I'll take, you know, a 2023 first random and then, you know, just insert player. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that because this class, it just like every single class, does have a value on it. And if you're smart enough and you're able to capitalize, you can play the market very, very well. I'll say 101. I'm going Malik Willis 10 out of 10 times, and I'm going to flip him for whatever I can get in a rebuild. I'm going to flip him for whatever I can get and on a contending roster. Doesn't matter. I'm drafting Treylon Burks. I'm drafting Garrett Wilson. I'm drafting Breece Hall. And you play the game that way because this class, again, it's not great, but it is going to have value year two and beyond.
I'm just going to jump in real quick and let us get out of here before Kev starts talking about Breece Hall as the unquestioned 101. We can't go down that rabbit hole. Jesse, appreciate you joining us, man. Good to have you back on here. Good to have you back in the space as well. Your return to the fantasy space is definitely welcome. You can find him on Twitter at Jesse Reeves FF. Kev, any last words before I say go Bolts?
We there will be none of that here, okay? This is a Kansas City Chiefs show here, okay? You just remember that. But, no, Jesse.
Chargers, baby.
Really happy that we got you back on. We got to get you on for a non-NFL like prospect talk. You know, to talk about some more nuanced type stuff. You know, digging a little bit more of the weeds on some different topics.
Yeah.
You know, and a non-pro because I think the last one before this was also I think it was what the 2000 was it 2020. Wide receiver, I think
years ago.
Yeah, I love talking prospects, man. It's so fun, but it is toxic as fuck, man. It's just a toxic realm of discussion. And like, I mean, I love doing it. I'd mostly do it for myself, and I'm more than happy to talk about process and stuff, but I'm way more interested in the team building aspect and probably more about like NFL just in general too, like nothing fantasy related. I just love talking about like the game of football because I don't know, for some weird reason, people just think that I have like the most absurd takes on like how game theory is. And it's just like, it's just fun to talk about that stuff. I'd love to talk about prospects though. I appreciate you guys having me on. And anytime you guys come calling, man, I would love to talk about anything football related.
We tried to get Debro on, but you know he actually big time.
That guy's a schmuck. Okay, where is he? Where is that guy? Where is Debro?
He fucking big time me. So last week, you know, we asked. He said he had something. This week, he said he wasn't feeling well. So like, yeah, okay, yeah. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
I have a sinus infection, and I'm here, Derek. If you can hear me right now, calling you out, brother. Calling you out.
So then I asked him. I said, "Hey, man. Hey, you coming on the show?" He was like, He kept slow playing me, so I knew this was coming because, like Sunday, he was like, "Hey man, what day are you guys thinking? What day is Jesse available?" I was like, "I think he's available just about any day, but I think but Thursday would work the best. We could do Wednesday or Thursday. That would work better." And he's like, "Okay," didn't hear from him. So yet today, I messaged him, "Hey man, you coming on?" He's like, "Oh dude, I got this bad cough. I can barely talk. All this stuff." I'm like, "Okay man, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Cool man." And then I see him send out a tweet saying that he's jumping on Twitter Spaces at 5:30. Everybody jump in and talk
big,
to me. And I'm like,
big timed us.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You son of a bitch. D-Bro, we're going to talk about it.
We'll get him on a post draft. We'll get him on a post draft and we'll argue.
We'll get him on. We'll get all the boys together and we'll do this again. And then I'm just going to berate him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, after Kenneth Walker, his RB1 goes in the third round. And becomes irrelevant, just absolutely irrelevant. We watch Breece Hall get drafted at like 15 or something absurd, and we can just blast him for that.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, again, though, I appreciate you guys, Cody, Kev. Thank you guys so much for having me on, man. I really do appreciate it. Always a pleasure to be here, and I hope whoever's listening learned something. Not from me, from these two, but learned something.
Yeah, and I appreciate everybody checking it out. And like I said, you can follow him on Twitter at JesseReevesFF. And we will see you guys again, I'm sure, next week with what? I don't know. But have a good weekend. And MLB is back. Opening day was today. So if you're into that sort of thing, hopefully.
The Masters.
Tiger Woods is out
the
here.
The only Tiger thing Woods that matters in my life right now, man.
Tiger
the
Woods Masters. Is back. So it's good to see that. But other than that, we'll see you guys next week. Have a good night. Bye.
Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Closing.
beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.